It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hi, with an H-I-G-H, it's Cannabis Talk 101, your world's number one source for everything cannabis. And today I am solo again. It is Mark Wasserman of the Pot Brothers at Law. My solo show the other day went so well, iHeart decided to go in a different direction, and well, you just got me now. All right, just kidding. I'm missing Big Blue, Joe Grande, and my big brother. They are all out doing fabulous, fantastic things. Gives me the opportunity to catch up on some way. Cannabis goes bad. So let's just get right into it. You know, we do these stories to illustrate that cannabis isn't so legal. People think it's legalized, but yet people are still getting arrested. So here you go. The headline reads, out of the East Bay, cannabis bust likely the largest in Bay Area history. More than 37 tons of cannabis seized. Largest bust in Bay Area history. That's even larger than the Joe Grande bust. We'll talk about that from the Bay Area a long time ago, Joe. But in Alameda County here, in what the sheriff's office is calling the largest pot bust in Bay Area history. And it's just like cops to use that word. I threw it in there because it was a quote, but I hate that word, pot. Except when you're talking about the Pot Brothers at Law, of course. But let's call it cannabis, because more than 37 tons of the plant worth tens of millions of dollars in product were seized in multiple raids that span four East Bay cities. So far, at least seven people have been arrested. Inside one San Leandro warehouse, there were so many cannabis plants in so many rooms, deputies had to take a chainsaw to cut them all down. Did you hear that? A chainsaw. They took a chainsaw to helpless plants. I mean, what the? We've talked about this before. Why are you ripping them down? Why are you killing medicine that can help so many people with cancer, vets with PTSD? Come on, I could sit here for hours and go down the laundry list of the people who need these plants that you're just cutting down with chainsaws. The San Leandro facility is just one of 18 similar warehouses, also in Oakland, Hayward, and Castro Valley, busted by Alameda County sheriffs in recent days. They are cracking down. We've also seized close to $10 million in cash assets, said Sergeant Ray Kelly of the Alameda County Sheriff's Department. And we've also seized 12,000 pounds of processed product ready to be distributed out into the community. That's worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million. Now here, I have an idea. You heard all these big numbers, 10 million in cash, 12,000 pounds, 40 million in street value, but yet they decide to destroy it all, take it to chainsaw, cut it down. You know, what if, just what the fuck if they confiscated all those plants and said, hey, you guys are doing this illegally. You don't have your city permit and state license. We're going to take all this medicine, all these plants, and we're going to put it in our facility, take care of it, put it out on the market. And whatever sells, we're going to put in a little fund so you can have the money to go legal and licensed. And guess what? Then everybody will get their medicine that they need. I mean, Christ, with 10 million in cash assets, 12,000 pounds seized, 37 tons of plants, if they actually did what I just said, they could provide all the free cannabis to the vets, the cancer patients, the people who are deathly ill. And then they can start selling it to everybody else. Because, hey, we all need some good medicine. Sorry, I had to go off on that little tangent, but that's what I think we should do when there's these raids, instead of cutting down living plants. Authorities believe there are as many as 500,000 plants in all, over 500,000 square feet of warehouses hosting everything from mature three footers to tiny starters. Boy, I wish Blue was here to really dig into what's a three footer, what's a tiny starter. I mean, I don't know that stuff. You know, that's the grower, that's the cultivator, who, by the way, big shout out to all the cultivators out there who have been putting their lives on the line for 20, 30 years plus to get this medicine to the people who need it. Some of them are in jail, which is even more ridiculous than all of this cutting down of medicine. Now, here's where you've got Sargent explaining there's CO2 being pumped into these rooms, HEPA filters filtering the air going out so you are not getting the massive odor. That's right. It sounds like they were doing something right by making sure there was no smell going on. The entire operation is supported by an intricate infrastructure, air filters, illegal wiring, generators, water, and fertilizers that are toxic spilling into local drainage. Now, that is definitely a problem. Okay, now, we don't condone those who are doing these things illegally, who are completely disregarding the environment. Now, mind you, we know growers who are, you know, cultivating under rocks somewhere out in the mountains, and they are doing everything perfectly. They're not using toxins, and they're not using pesticides. They're not harming the environment and letting drainage come off. You know, they're not doing it. There are those that are. And again, instead of taking all these plants and ripping them down, give them a shot. Give them a shot to go legal. Why not? But because Kelly, you know, Sergeant Kelly here, they're basically circumventing the legal system to be involved in the cannabis industry. And they're doing that strictly for profit. Now, I agree. Now, here is where I agree. They are circumventing the legal system because the way the legal system has been set up, especially here in California, it is fucked. You got to have a boatload of money to be able to get in. And it shouldn't be like that. It should be like other industries where you can, you know, start from scratch with an idea out of your room and start putting things together and, you know, paying certain fees that you have to get licensing and do it properly. Make it so it can be done. The cannabis is being grown illegally. It's untaxed. It's unregulated. It's unregulated and untaxed. So tax it, regulate it. Make it simpler for those who are doing it illegal to get involved, those who want to. Now, I'm not blind. There's going to be illegal cultivators from now until forever, and that they're criminals. There are criminals out there, and that's their livelihood. That's what they do. There are many others out there who are, quote unquote, committing crimes. Because when the laws changed, especially here in California, and mom and pop stores could no longer just get up there and do their thing, they had to survive. I mean, we know people who were operating for 15 years under the Senate Bill 420 here and the Attorney General guidelines with a cooperative and medical patients signed and paying taxes. And doing very well. But then 2019 hits. You can't operate like that anymore. You must shut down. And you must do it this way. And you must have hundreds of thousands of dollars in property to do it. To me, that's just fucked up. I don't know how else to say it. So out there in Alameda County, all of those busts and raids that happened, to me, the worst of it was that line I read of chopping down cannabis plants with chainsaws. I hope you feel like big bad men revving up the chainsaw, taking it to a plant that can't defend itself. Real good, guys. real good. I got to go take a smoke break. But when we come back, I've got more when cannabis comes back. When cannabis goes bad with an illicit cannabis farm so huge, it's visible from space. We'll be right back after this break.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. It's Mark and Craig Popper, the Zat Law, Blue, and Joe Grande. But of course, as I said earlier, I am here by myself. We got big Joe Grande and Fantastic Blue out there in Houston. They were covering the counterculture, and Cannabis Talk 101 was spreading the love and sharing all of the great knowledge and information about this beautiful plant. And as I said before break, we've got a great story here. The headline reads, from outer space, an illicit cannabis farm so huge, it was visible from space. Okay, so we know that NASA's International Space Station and other such spacecrafts can pick up a whole lot of what's happening here on the third planet from the sun. But it really, an indoor cannabis farm? Last week, authorities in Nevada, along with an impressive backup of national law enforcers, that's the feds getting together with state and local authorities, if you don't know that, which is happening a lot everywhere, raided what they called the largest illegal cannabis grow in Douglas County history. What's going on? First the Bay Area, now Vegas. Nevada, Douglas County, and perhaps one of the largest ever to be discovered in the state, which legalized adult use in 2017, let's not forget. 80 workers. The cannabis farm was also the largest employer in the area. They had 80 workers and they had the most employers in the area. They were employing 80 people, rivaling several similar small grows in Douglas County, which is located some 20 miles south of Nevada's capital, Carson City, and borders Lake Tahoe. Now, here are the numbers associated with the 160 greenhouse cannabis grow on 22 acres of land. I mean, this is getting crazy, folks. They are starting to bust and locate cannabis farms from outer space. I wonder if astronauts can toke up in outer space. I guess they could bring edibles. I don't think they'd be sparking anything up, but I wonder if they're bringing edibles up into space, edibles in space. Anyways, that was another large bust. And as I said, this is the theme. The theme is bust everybody. And they don't care that they're putting people out of work. Look at that, 80 people who are working here. And I venture to say, you know, right or wrong, a bunch of those workers didn't even know that it was an illegal place. We get that a lot. And unfortunately, there are naive people in the world who are very trusting and very gullible, and they get swallowed up by those who run places like this. And they show them some nice paperwork and maybe some fake licenses or whatever they've got and say, this is all good. And here, we're going to pay you. And then a raid, they're busted, they're in jail. Now, you know, we're talking about the authorities taking all of these plants, cutting them down. What do they do? What do they do with 62 tons of cannabis? According to the newspaper that did the story, they buried it. There were not, and they weren't little plants either. The story, these plants they cut down were huge. People working on site in rugged conditions that wouldn't pass muster in any regulated business tended the plants for months. Residents first started reporting the site last summer in 2020, even as the last embers of the numbers fire were growing cold. So this huge grow in Douglas County was getting some attention already. The Numbers Fire was a wildfire that burned nearly 19,000 acres in Nevada's Pine Nut Mountains in July 2020 and damaged over 1,000 homes. But yet, this magnanimous cannabis farm was not touched. It survived, but it couldn't survive being seen from outer space. Now, we go back to 2020. We go back to the reports from residents who are talking about the smell and everything else going on in the area. What took the authorities so long to raid the site? Well, the thought is that law enforcement may have been waiting to uncover the source of the funding in hope of busting a sophisticated criminal enterprise and tracking down the kingpins. Now, this is what happens a lot. They will sit on places and do a lot of surveillance, following many vehicles from here to there to see if they can't find the big guns. Because the big guns, the guys who run everything, they're in the wind 99% of the time. They're not down there on the ground at the grows. Those are for the underlings who, you know, there might be a CEO of jail, a guy who's paid to look like he's running everything when things go south, and he's got to go to jail for a while, and he's taken care of, CEO of jail. Meanwhile, when the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the DEA, Homeland Security Investigations, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the FBI, the Washoe Tribal Police Department, Nevada Division of Investigation, and several other local law enforcers finally raided the cannabis greenhouses, that's when they detained 80 people for questioning. But only two were arrested. One for an immigration violation, and one for possession of a controlled substance that wasn't cannabis. So, I mean, I like hearing that they let pretty much everybody go, the employees who were working there. Again, a lot of whom probably didn't even know it was an illegal spot. That doesn't happen too often, but they're looking at the bigger picture. And they're trying to get to the big guns. So who knows? These 80 people, you know, here's the problem too with criminal enterprise and hiring people who don't know you're a criminal enterprise, is they're going to rat on you. They're going to give up everything. Now, for sure, they don't know the names of the people who own and run it. You know, it's Bob. You know, that's you, Bob. Bob Smith. It's usually the names they use. But they're in the wind, but they can talk about the operation. They can certainly cooperate. So we'll have to see if this story goes anywhere in the future and if anybody big is actually taken down. And so I'd say that qualifies when 62 tons are taken. That's when cannabis goes bad. And I've got maybe two more when cannabis goes bad stories when we come back right after this break.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Big Pop Brothers at Law, Blue and Joe Grande. And I am here all by myself today, holding it down with tons of when cannabis goes bad, because we never run out of stories when cannabis goes bad. And here I have a story straight from Pop Brothers at Law consultation calls. And we get them every day. And you know our motto, shut the fuck up when cops ask questions. You know, this goes for the airport too. And we got a call the other day from a gentleman who came to California from New York. Figured he'd pick up about 8 pounds, throw it in his backpack, jump on an airplane, and go back. So if you're out there thinking about doing that, listen to this. He goes through security, and they immediately flag his bag. His bag got flagged for a box of moist toilets, papers. Yes. I once got flagged for a box of business cards. So what you should know is, you know, they're not looking for business cards. They're not looking for moist towelettes. But what the x-ray picks up is just a big mass of something. And they're going to look at that. And so when they looked at that, they opened it up and, ooh, to smell 8 pounds of cannabis. So what does this gentleman say? But what's the problem? I was here 3 months ago and I brought a pound through and the TSA officer let me go. So let me stop right there. So what he did was admit to exporting cannabis out of LAX, which is a felony, both state and federal. He admitted it, that he had done it before. So strength number one. And then he would go on to tell them that that's his medicine, where he purchased it, just the whole kit and caboodle. Now, when you go through LAX with cannabis, any amount is illegal. Let me say that again. No, when you go through any airport with cannabis, it's illegal, any amount. Now, you have places like, I believe, Las Vegas and Colorado. When you get to the airport, there's a big sign that says, leave your cannabis here. No questions asked. Just drop it in the box. Whether it's a joint, whether it's an ounce, whether it's whatever it is, edibles, tinctures, it's all illegal to bring on a plane. People do it every day. People get away with it every day. Getting away with it doesn't make it legal. Please remember that. That's what this guy thought. He got away with it last time. Didn't even think twice about it. And now he's dealing with a felony that, you know, he's not a criminal. And I talked about that earlier. I've been doing criminal defense for 26 years. And maybe 5%, maybe less of my clients are actual criminals, professionals. That's what they do. And part of their job is going to jail for a while. And they keep their mouth shut and they do what they do. And this is the life. They call it the life. And it's dangerous and it's scary. And there are people that live that life. But the vast majority of our clients are not criminals. May have done something stupid, may have created or caused or was involved in some criminal activity because of bad choices, certain circumstances, but it doesn't make you a criminal. And unfortunately, in this cannabis space, there's so many people who aren't criminals who get busted because they don't know the laws, they don't understand the laws, they've gotten away with things before, and they walk themselves in and talk themselves into horrible situations. In this situation here, we're hoping that we can take this felony and maybe get it reduced to a misdemeanor. Now, we've been able to do that with a lot of success here in Los Angeles out of LAX, but it's not going to be that easy this time because he told him he'd done it before. And they probably just think, this guy's doing it. You know, he's buying it over here. He's bringing it over there to sell it. All the good shit's in California. That's why people come here. You know, we have people who come here with medical cards from other places. They have medical cards here in California. They go to legal shops, and purchase the legal amount. You know, with the California physician's recommendation, you can possess up to 8 ounces. So we have people who go to different shops, they buy different burners and cookies and, you know, West Coast Cure and Rove and all those products that are out there for the taking, for the purchase, throw them in their backpack or in their check bags, and boom, they're off and home. And the next thing they know, they're sitting in cuffs looking at potential felony charges because they didn't know. So we are really trying to spread that message about flying around with cannabis. I don't care. You know somebody who did it. You've done it. You do it at your own risk. Now, that's the point. At least know. Because it really bugs me when people do that and they come to us crying and complaining, I thought it was legal. I didn't know. I mean, come on. You know that cannabis in and of itself is federally illegal. You know that. You know the planes are federal, on federal grounds. You know that. So I can't feel too bad for you when you knowingly break the law and come in and say, I didn't know. I thought it was legal now. And I should do a segment called I Thought It Was Legal Now and start interviewing all the people who got busted because they thought it was legal now. It is not legal. It is partial legalization everywhere. Please remember that. Wherever you live in the United States, wherever you live in the world, know your cannabis laws. Know the consequences of breaking those cannabis laws. And if you want to be an advocate and activist to the fullest, then you utilize civil disobedience and you break those fucking laws and you take the consequences of having to go to jail. That's how it works. And that's when cannabis goes bad. I'm Mark Wasserman, little brother of the Pop Brothers at Law. This has been another fantastic time here at Cannabis Talk 101, your world's number one source for everything cannabis. And remember this, if nobody loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.